off of the plane, so just give some general ideas. Since it's between Pesach and Shavuos, there's a minigan amisol between Pesach and Shavuos to read Pirkei Avos. Generally, there are six Shabbosos between Pesach and Shavuos, so there really are five parakim in Pirkei Avos. The sixth parak was added on, but effectively, there's six parakim in Pirkei Avos. We read one parak each Shabbos. This Emir Teshem is the second Shabbos, so we're going to be reading Parak Sheni. Just for the schedule, I'll tell some of the other boys, well, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we'll have Pirkei Avos, Wednesday, we'll have Chassidus, Rashi, we'll have Rashi, Thursday, we'll have Rashi, then Erev Shabbos, we'll go back to Pirkei Avos. Okay? So just some quick highlights from Parak Sheni, because we don't have that much time. Come, Adam, come. We're going to learn Pirkei Avos this summer, because we're reading Pirkei Avos. So just some highlights. I was on the plane, I didn't have time to prepare much from Pirkei Avos, Parak Sheni. Parak Sheni describes the Masorah from Hillel through the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva. So just sometimes it's important to know the Masorah. Hillel and Shammai, like they learned by Shammai and Naftalian, but essentially they started a Masorah, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Hillel had 70 Talmidim, had 70 Talmidim, 90 Talmidim, I forget, he had 70 or 90, but one of his Talmidim was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a master Rebbe. He had a lot of Talmidim. And every once in a while, you have in our Masara people that teach a broad range of Talmidim that then become Rebbeim and then become master Rebbeim, and they create their own drachim. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a master Rebbe. He had many Talmidim. We'll talk about some of them today. The two most famous Talmidim are the two that taught Rabbi Akiva. Since it's in the sphere of Omer, it's relevant to think about Rabbi Akiva. One is Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus. One is Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Those are two Talmidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, otherwise known as Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, in Shas, who were Rabbi Akiva's Rebbeim. Rabbi Eliezer was more of an absolutist, perfectionist, strong arm, very, very strong-willed. Of course, as best exemplified by his story when he refused to concede to the majority opinion in the story of the Tanur Shel Achnai, and because of that he was put into Nidui. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was much more of a pragmatist, much more of a Hillel-type personality. So Rabbi Akiva had each of these two influences. That's why he became so spectacular, because you need both in life. You need purism and absolutism and perfectionism and sticking to your guns and conviction. You also need how to understand living in a real world and pacifying and making accommodations. So sometimes one without the other leaves you a little bit shortchanged. Anyway, one of the statements of Yochanan ben Zakkai made is as follows. Yochanan ben Zakkai said, this is again in Parak Sheni, Im lamadata Tara harbe, if you've studied a lot of Torah, al tachzik tov liatzmecha, don't think of yourself highly. Don't look at yourself as having been accomplished. Don't take pride. Al tachzik tov liatzmecha, ki lekach natzarta. Why have you been created in this world? Why are you put in this world? To study Hashem's Torah. That's your purpose in life. So if you don't study Torah, you're failing. If you do study Torah, you're making ground zero. You're accomplishing your minimum task. So, hi, morning, good morning, regards. I met to thank your grandfather and culture. So, this statement of Yochanan ben Zakkai has two very interesting subtexts. Number one, unfortunately, our world doesn't see Torah that way, at least in our culture. We see Torah as something, or you're a tzaddik, you're a pious person, he's studying Torah, he's giving to Torah. Yochanan ben Zakkai says, lekach natzarta. The reason you were put on this world is to study Hashem's Torah. Now, no one statement of Chazal can be taken as the absolute truth. The biggest mistake people make is when they take one statement of Chazal and present it as the complete truth, but it's a partial truth. After this world fades, and all the requirements and all the needs and all the hustle-bustle, this world fades, the only part of this world that's eternal is our Torah. It's the only part of this world we'll take with us. So the Yochanan ben Zakkai statement, the Kach Netzarta, again, are there other needs in this world? Yes. Should you attend to those other needs? Depending on some people's sheet, this no, let's just learn Torah and let other people attend to those needs. Some people feel that Ben Torah should attend to as many needs as possible. But this baseline that without studying Torah, I'm failing. I've said this many times to you. You can't be an Orthodox male without studying Torah. Previous generations, whatever, they lost their Masara. They weren't able to keep the Masara. But it should be, this isn't a dramatic statement. If you're not learning Torah, you're not an Orthodox male. Because an Orthodox male keeps Tariq mitzvahs. And Talmud Torah is Tariq mitzvahs. Yochanan ben Zakkai is focusing on Talmud Torah, lekach natzarta. So studying Torah is the baseline of human identity. If you're not studying Torah, you're betraying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, lekach natzarta. Now, the first part of Yochanan ben Zakkai's statement, which is really a corollary, is also very provocative. Therefore, you shouldn't take pride in the fact that you're a Talmud Chacham. Throughout history, there have been different cycles and different attitudes towards Talmidei Chachamim. On the one hand, a Talmid Chacham should be an anav. A Talmid Chacham should not think highly of himself. He shouldn't take any pride. you're fulfilling your baseline responsibility. On the other hand, without pride in Talmud Torah, there's no Kavodah Torah. People won't be drawn to Torah. People won't be excited about Torah. So throughout different stages of history, there were different accents on whether Talmid Chacham should feel superior and prideful and proud and feel that they're royalty, that they're nobility, or you should just feel. So for example, Rav Chassin told us that we're living through a period right now where culturally there's a lot of lauding and celebrating Talmid Chachamim, especially in the Haredi culture, because the entire culture is sloped towards excellence in Talmud Torah. So Yeshiva Bachurim see themselves, for better and for worse, right? There's obviously, we're living through a period in which this has very, very severe ramifications about not serving the army, yes, serving the army, but as almost like a class above, and the elite. And we're the people who've been selected to study Torah, and we're the people who are protecting. Rav Aaron told us that this was a product of something that happened about 100 years ago. 100 years ago, see, we don't really appreciate it. Today's Yom HaShoah. So we don't fully appreciate how devastating World War I was to Europe in general and to the Jewish communities of Eastern Europe in particular. Obviously, World War II was far more devastating, far more traumatic, far more apocalyptic, but it was so massive and so colossal that it obscures what happened in World War I. World War I, at least a third of the yeshiva world was eviscerated. Horrible wars between Germany and Russia, all along the Ukrainian, White Russia, Eastern European. The Jews were horribly affected. And after World War I, the entire world was plunged into an economic crisis. And the Jews of Eastern Europe were at the lowest end of the food chain, so they were at the worst end of this crisis. And what happened was, and I know this from my grandfather, my great-grandfather, Menachem Mendel, was an up-and-coming Talmud Chacham, and he married someone whose father was wealthy, and he was promised that he'd be supported his whole life. And World War I happened, and his father-in-law lost all of his money. And my great-great-grandfather had no one to support him, and he was left without a parnasa, without any training, because he'd been promised to be supported. The Jews of Eastern Europe really fell on hard times, and all these yeshiva bachrim that had been promised to be supported, because they were the great all-stars of the Eastern European sphere, they fell on hard times also. But Rav Aaron told us that as a reaction to that in the yeshiva world, let's overcompensate. Let's build the ego and pride of yeshiva bachrim so that we can compensate for the fact that the rest of the world is looking down upon them and is scorning them. And that has what's led to an 80, 90-year tradition where yeshiva bachrim are being held up as an upper class and an elite class. I'm not taking sides on this. I'm just saying, ask yourself, in our world, okay, in our culture, do we have enough of this? In our culture, do we take Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai too seriously? And we don't spend enough time celebrating Talmud Torah and celebrating excellence in Talmud Torah and building up Yeshiva Bachur Mesa. You'll get in the army, your Yeshiva Bachur doesn't count. You're just a regular soldier. The fact that you're a Beinish and you're learning Torah, okay, army has to be a leveler. Army has to function on equality. But in our own society, do we enough? So maybe contrast, let's say, the Haredi culture and our culture and think about not the culture themselves, but two different strategies for how you view Talmid Chachamim and how Talmid Chachamim view themselves. Our tradition, namely my tradition, the tradition of Rav Lichtenstein, the tradition that I was raised on, is that a Talmid Chacham shouldn't see himself as superior, shouldn't take advantages, shouldn't take privileges. You're just like everyone else. You have to do your part. You have to pay your taxes. You have to play your role. But it comes at a cost. And ask yourself whether we should do more to create this aura and this halo around people like Talmid Chachamim against what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Al tachzik tov al yatzmacha." But ask yourself whether that's absolutely correct. Because remember, all of Chazal has to be balanced alongside. Okay, I'll tell you a story, since I just got off the plane, a story about a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Rav Lichtenstein was once giving a tish, and he told the following story. He was walking in Shari Chesed, and he saw either an Arab merchant, I think the story goes, or different gersos to the story, but let's say the one that I have, an Arab merchant pull over his truck to the side of the road, stop short, and all the produce fell out of the back of the truck. So a group of yeshiva bachrim gathered around the truck, and they started to debate whether they had a halachic responsibility to help this merchant collect his fruits and vegetables. Why? Because it's a very complicated halachic predicament. He's Muslim. Is Muslim paganism? Is Muslim monotheism? If it's monotheism, and he's living in Israel under the authority of a Jewish sovereign state, he could be what's called a ger toshav. A ger toshav is a person who doesn't convert, but forswears avodah zarah and lives under our authority. And there's a chiv to help a ger toshav. So is he really a ger toshav? Do we have to help him? And Rav Aaron thought it was so sad that all these yeshiva bachim gathered and had a little halachic sophistry, but didn't have the decency to get down on your hands and knees and help. Just simply have decency. I was in the airport yesterday. I was exhausted. I literally been on train till 2 a.m. I was in a hotel for 3 hours. Got to the airport. It's crazy. And online, a woman dropped all of her suitcase and it fell on the floor. So I got down. No one I knew. I just helped her gather her stuff. I mean, basic decency. So we were all chest thumping. Yeah, Rebbe, give it to those yeshiva bachim who aren't mental, okay? And then he looked at us and he said, and how sad it is that in our community, we're able to instill basic menschlichkeit, but most of our boys and girls are completely ignorant of even the basic details of this halachic situation. And why can't we have a world in which we create the perfect beast? People that have halachic literacy and people that also have moral integrity and menschlichkeit. So it was dead silence in the room. And then a boy in the back raised his hand and said, Rebbe, but if you could only have one, which would it be? And we were just flabbergasted, like... And Rav Aaron didn't miss a heartbeat. He said, if I could only have one, it would be menschlichkeit. And he quoted this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai asked his Talmidim, what's the most important trait? Perek Sheni, Mishnah, Yud Gimel. What's the most important trait? Shidbak Bahadam. So Eliezer raised his hand and said, Rebbe, I know Ayin Tava, generosity. It's good to be generous. Not just with your money, but with your time, with your emotions, with your food. Right? Are you good at being generous or you're not good at being generous? Ask yourself, are you a stingy person or not? But don't just use a financial yardstick. Ask yourself in general, what do you give of yourself freely? Good trait. Rabbi Shua Mer Chaverta, well, you're a good friend. Okay, I'm not going to tell you to be a good friend, but a good friend doesn't mean watching the game while sharing a bag of Doritos. That's called parallel play. A good friend means you listen, you share. You do more listening, they're more talking. Girls are better friends than boys because they just mature more quickly into friendship. Okay? Are you a good neighbor? Shachin Tov doesn't mean you're a good neighbor. You don't play your music too loud on Yom HaSvot. Shachin Tov means you know how to share space. When do you share space in life? On the roads, in your room, in the base medrash, during davening, right? When you're with other people, on the planes, just get off a plane, do you know how to share space in a way that's polite? So these were all the traits that they cited. Rav Shimon says, Arosa Nolad, can you see the future? Think about the future, not just the present. Elizabeth ben Arach said, Leif Tov, you have a good, kind heart. Yochanan ben Zakkai slammed his fist, I don't know, and he said, Ro ani, es divrei Elizabeth ben Arach. Elizabeth ben Arach wins. Leif Tov, shebechlal, devarav divrechem. You have a Leif Tov, you have a good heart, everything else will flow naturally. So Rav Aaron quoted Yochanan ben Zakkai, said, if I could only have one, I want to have menschlichkeit to have a Leif Tov. Based on Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I would want both halachic literacy and basic menschlichkeit, but if I only have one, have a Leif Tov. So here's the question I'll end with today. Do you have a Leif Tov? Don't answer the question to me. Answer to yourself. If you naturally have a Leif Tov, that's great. If you don't have a natural Leif Tov, that's even better, because that's something you can acquire, and you should be proud of the things you acquire in life more than the things Hashem gave you in a native sense. How do you acquire a Leif Tov? Like any other midah. Find people who have a Leif Tov and spend time with them. The best way to acquire a midah is through kentation. If you want a midah, as you're growing to this stage, you should try to build your friendships, not just on who's cool and who are the friends and who's rich and who has the best PlayStation. Start building your friendships based on what traits you feel you want to acquire, marriage also, when you choose a wife, and slowly but surely, if you live with people long enough to display those traits with excellence, you start to observe. Obviously, you think about it, you try, you work, but the best way is to absorb them from your surroundings through osmosis, okay? So tomorrow is Tuesday. More Pirkei Avos. Wednesday is Svas Emes. Thursday is Rashi. And Friday is Pirkei Avos, okay? Have a great day, everyone. Have a good Zman. Have a good Zman.